just want to give a few words of introduction before Jet comes up. And it was 6 years ago at our conference in Colorado Springs, I met the UK Vineyard Missions Directors, John and Joy. I don't even remember the last name now. But anyway, John and Joy, and when I was there, they said, you know, we're talking about France, and they said, you absolutely have to come to the UK National Leaders Conference. It's the end of January. I'm like, boy, this is October. I hadn't planned on doing anything like that. And it really felt like, and I was convinced that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. So I get there to this place called Trent, England, and there's over 1,000 people at this place. Has anyone ever had a divine appointment where just like, you just know that this introduction or whatever, just like, this has got to be God. Like, where? How did this even happen? So out of over 1,000 people there, we were jammed in like sardines because it wasn't quite big enough for everybody that was there. And I met this young guy, and it just was, I don't know how it really happened, how we ended up spending so much time together that week, but we were going out to dinner and doing all kinds of stuff together. And the Lord just really impressed on me that here is somebody whose name is going to be known, and I'm going to use this young man. And so we just really had a good time. And then as we're leaving, as we often do, say, oh, you need to come sometime and come to Virginia. And he says, yeah, I need to do that. And well, he did. And some of you are here today because Jet is here, because he's made an impact. And so this morning, I think he's going to make an impact again, more Holy Spirit making an impact than Jet. But we're grateful that he's here with us this morning. So Jet, would you come up? I'll pray with you before we set you loose. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for what you've put in Jit's heart, how you've transformed and how you are transforming his life and the things that you're showing him. And so, Father, we just feel it's a privilege for us to receive even a little bit from him what he's been receiving from you. So could he have all liberty and all joy this morning as he brings what you've put on his heart. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have at it. Thank you. I love this place. It's probably my most favorite place in the world, and it's probably the place that I've most looked forward to coming back to. And before we start, I think it's really in my heart just to honor the people that teach in this church, that preach and teach in this church, because these things cost. The sermons, they cost. You know, they're not easy, and I've just spent 3 or 4 days in warfare over this one sermon, and it's not easy. And so we just want to honor the people that preach here week after week after week, because there's a great cost involved in doing this, you know. And with that in mind, the Lord said to me earlier on, so I was just getting ready to come, and he said, so did you want me to come this morning? And it wasn't, he didn't mean his power, because his power was going to come this morning. He meant as a friend. And the reason he asked that was I've been under so much attack for the last 3 days, I couldn't even begin to pray. Like, I would have spent so many hours in just presence before I came or before I ever preach, but I couldn't do that. I was just struggling and struggling. And I said, of course I want you to come. It's like, that's the thing I want the most. I thought it was you that didn't want me to come. And it was like this reconciliation. But in that, you know, I probably wouldn't trade. You know, I would go through that time just to hear the just to hear his voice and understand that when he comes, it isn't just as, you know, the Almighty in power and doing his thing in healing and all those moves of God. It's actually as the closest of friends. And, you know, stuff like that completely changes you when you realize who, you know, when you hear his voice and you realize what he's saying to you. But do you want me to come this morning, you know, and giving me that, in a sense, choice. So, yeah. So it was about 3 years since I came to, I think it's about 3 years since I came to Virginia. Since then, I've been to Cuba, I've worked for a church, and my entire life has just completely turned around in many directions. And for you guys, you're like my family, so I just want to share some testimony, if that'd be okay. And, you know, you've got some great teachers, so I'm going to go for some testimony. And then we're going to look a little bit about what the Lord's been putting in my heart for this church. So I'll tell you about my trip to Cuba, which was really interesting. But I went on vacation and I got really bored, because actually there's only so much beach you can do before you just think, this is so boring. And that's what I was saying to the Lord, this is really boring. And I want to do something. I want to see some healings. I want to see something. And I was on a rest away from ministry, but you know, if you're addicted to ministry, it's what you do. So to give you the shorter version of this, we ended up praying for a few people, and one of those people was my tour guide, who had been taking us around everywhere. You know, we hire them for the whole day and they show us around. And I'd made a promise to her that if she came out with me on the streets, which is obviously, I think that's illegal, but if she came on the streets, she would see a miracle. I said, I promise you that you will see a miracle if you were to come out with me on the streets. So she turns up. And anyone who's, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever been able to go over to Cuba, but basically people hitchhike everything to try and get from one place to another. It isn't a simple system. You can't just get in a car and go. Many people don't have cars, but she turned up. And anyway, I'm praying for somebody, and I just can't see anything happening with this person that we're praying for. And I'm thinking, I've assured you that you're going to see a miracle. So I'm praying and praying, and I can't see anything happening. Anyway, she then says to me, can you pray for me? Because as you'll be able to see, the bones in my arms, my legs are bowed, and they always have been, and they cause me a lot of pain when I walk, when I move. My skeleton is just, you could see it, she's slim, you could see just the way that the skeleton was bowed out of shape. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll pray for you. And I started praying for her, and nothing was happening again. So I thought, wow. I actually stepped aside for 1 minute and just sort of had this time with the Lord, saying, what do I need to do? Just tell me quick what I need to do. Like, what prayer do I need to pray for this to work, for this to happen? Anyway, I went back. She puts her elbows in my hands, and heat is released from my hands straight into her arms, and we just feel her bones realigning into position. So her entire skeleton then starts to change shape. I go to pray for her back, that gets healed. And then by the time I go to pray for her knees, the bones have already moved, and everything is in complete position as it should have been from the start. So I then, well, she naturally gave her life to Christ, as you would after something like that. But well, you'd hope. But then she gave her life to Christ. And then that day I was heading back over to the UK, and I thought, what do I do now? You know, she's just had this amazing encounter, and there's nothing like this over there. You know, they don't have churches like this where you can just meet and hang out like this in this way. And so I was thinking, what am I going to do? So anyway, I'm on business while I'm back home. I'm saying to the Lord, I really want to go back to Cuba. I have to go back to Cuba, and I have to disciple this person. And I'd made up a time when I wanted to go back, because I knew it'd be cooler at that time. So I was like, I'm going back in this month. And then God says to me very clearly, go back to Cuba in May. And I very clearly said back, no, it's too warm in May and I don't like the heat. That was my answer, and I didn't want to move from that. So anyway, I got to my office and I Googled the weather, and it stays stable all year round. So I said, okay, fair enough. May it is. And I booked it that day, either that day or the day after. We'd booked the tickets, ready to go. Me and one of my friends, he was just going to come with me and have some vacation time. So we go over. No, in fact, I'm at work. It's the weekend before we go over, and I get a call from him. And he says, I'm just checking your passport, and it's not valid, and we fly out on Monday. And I'm like, it's Saturday now. And you know that point where you just start to panic and you can't speak? I'm like, what do you mean? Just check. Are you sure? Like, is this definite? He's like, yeah, you need 6 months to get out of the country. You need 6 months to get into Cuba. Yours has 4 on it. And you can't get out of the country. And I, you know, at that point, I start to panic. My friends called passport control. They said, yeah, it's true. He can't get out of the country. My brother rings Virgin, who I'd booked with. They say, yeah, he can't get out of the country. We'd not even let him out, because Cuba wouldn't let him in, and then we have to fly him back. But my idea was that if the Lord hadn't reminded me to renew my passport, then it probably didn't matter. Now, I'm saying that calm, because I've been, but before I went, my heart was racing. I thought I might die on the train. It was like, you can not believe the anxiety I had, because I'm going with everything planned. This is all on me to get us over there, and I'm just anxious, and I'm anxious, and the Lord's sort of trying to make me laugh, saying this. I'd see a plane go by, and he'd say, you're going to be on one of those soon. I'd be like, no, don't do this to me, because I'm already struggling enough as it is without the jokes. But, you know, he has that humor. Anyway, I get to the airport, and, you know, one of my friends says, just tune in to the Holy Spirit, and you know, you'll find out. And has anyone ever been in that position where they're, like, trying to tune in? It doesn't happen. So I got another message from another friend who says, whichever check-in desk you go to, there is an angel assigned behind each one. You'll get straight through, no matter which one you go to. That is one of the scariest things I've ever done. So I go, I hand in my passport, they check it, they ask me no questions, they stamp it and give me my boarding pass. And I'm straight through on this side. So right at the, now we're at the point where we're about to get on the plane, we're at the boarding gate. And every time that thing goes off at the airport, my heart starts racing. I think this is it, we've been caught now, they've checked the passport and that's it, they're gonna throw me out of the airport. And so my name rings out of the tunnel, and this time it's specifically me, and they say, could I go to the desk? And basically, I thought, this is it, I'm done. And I get there, and they say, oh yeah, all that's happened is somebody wants your seat. They would prefer to have your seat. We'll give you the front row seat, which is the best seat in the plane. You get in first, you get out first, and we'll give you that seat, and just for your inconvenience, we'll give you some champagne. So I said, well, done. You know, at this point, I was ready to stand for the flight. You know, I didn't care. So I'm there, I'm happy. I have my champagne, and I'm sat on this front row, and I needed to be the first person to get off so I can clear customs quick because of my passport. So I get off the plane. Now, this is the second hurdle that I need to get through. And so I get off and I get to the person. And I'd only been in Cuba 6 months before, which is a big flashing point which says, why are you back in Cuba now? And how did you afford to come back? And all of those questions they ask. She looked at my passport. She asked me nothing of any sort about why my passport was stamped 6 months before. She stamps it and says, have a nice day. Gives me my passport. So I'm in where every person said, with authority, said I couldn't get through. When he said, I'll go, I was there, you know. And I get over there and I spend some time, so I meet up with the tour guide whose skeleton realigned. And we're there and I'm teaching her some Bible. And I said, I really want to teach you some evangelism and I really want to teach you how to reach people here. So we went, and on the first day, she brought somebody with her, and they said, listen, what you're trying to do in Cuba, this isn't going to work. You know, they're going to think you're crazy. And I said, I've just traveled 4,000 miles. I'm doing this, you know. They can think I'm crazy all they like, but I'm here. I've got this. I'm going to do this no matter what happens. On that first day, I think we led 20 people to Jesus, okay, on the streets after this. So listen, if God tells you to do something and they say it doesn't work, just do it anyway. Because when his anointing's on it, it works. Okay, so we did that. And then I'll tell you about another day. It's quite significant in Cuba. My tour guide was sick, but God had... See, if you want to know what God wants you to do in a place, you can always ask first, and he can give you an itinerary. So that's what I did. I said, Lord, on which days do you want me to go where? And on a particular day, he'd given me a place to go. And on that day, my tour guide rings me and says, we can't go, I'm sick. And I think, what am I supposed to do? And I asked the Lord for advice. I say, Lord, what do I do? And you know, this is the advice I got. Improvise, you know? And you think, oh man, like, you know, this is the holy divine one I'm asking. He's telling me to improvise, and I have no idea what to do. So I go out, and this was me improvising. I go out, and I say to another tour guide, listen, rather than you tell me what's on the left or what's on the right, would you mind helping me lead some people to Jesus if I teach you? And I didn't ask her if she was a Christian or not. I just needed somebody who could translate. And she said, yeah, I can do that. I said, fine. Can we go now? Yeah. And I sat in the car with her. I gave her a 30-minute crash course in evangelism. Okay. And that's exactly what I did. I just said to her, look, listen, this is why we do it. This is what we're doing. And this is what you say. And we're going to go and approach people. And we're going to go to that place. Now, the other dangerous thing about this is if we are caught together, we could both get arrested. She could get arrested for even being around a tourist because they don't have permits for that. And there's all sorts of things that could lead us into trouble. So we're trying to avoid the cops. There's like some criminals in Cuba. So we go there, and I think we led about 15 people to Jesus that day. And we saw this policeman coming along, and I thought, you know, wouldn't it be? It's one of those what's the worst that can happen moments, and you think, oh, I'm going to give this a go. I said, listen, we should ask the cop, like, this could go badly wrong, but as well, it could go amazingly right, and we could have a great story. So I said, let's go and ask him. So we ask him, if God could do a miracle for you right now, what would you ask him to do? He said, I need lots of miracles. I said, what's one of them? And he told us, so we prayed for him, and we ended up leading him to Jesus, okay, before we left that day. Another time, we went to Havana, And, you know, we have to be wise about these things. I knew when it was time to leave Havana, in my spirit, I sensed there was danger, so I left at the right time. But while I was there, we went to a hospital, and there was a guy just sat outside the hospital. We led him to faith, and I said, well, why are you still here? You know, what is it that you need? And he says, well, my girlfriend's come in, and she's unwell. So we waited for her to come. We led her to faith after she was healed. And then we prayed for others around the hospital. So actually, it was just such an amazing trip. But, you know, if the Lord says you're going to get over to the other side, you're going to get over to the other side, and you're going to do whatever he says. You know, but we have to first take that by faith, as scary as it is. You know, it was one of the hardest weekends of my life, as I'm so anxious about what I'm going to do to get over, when everyone's saying, you can't do that. People in my church are saying, you've got the timing wrong. You know, and all these things, but I'm so certain that I've heard the Lord. So that happened. And that was, so that there were two trips that I did in that time, and I'm just sort of trying to fill you in. And then I worked for a church for a year, and my role within that, well, so I went part-time within my career. I do logistics, and I went to work for them, and I did 3 days a week just going on the streets and just praying for people. And each day, that's what we did. We went out there. I didn't want to go. I'd take the bus, and I'd get off the bus, and I'd think, I don't want to be here. I want to go back, straight back on the bus again, and go back home. Every day, that's how I felt. But the Lord had said to do it, so we needed to do it, and we needed to follow what was happening. So I had a very small team that came out, and some days it was just me. But in that year, we prayed for about 1,000 people, and I got to lead 90 of them to faith. And God really moved. So that's one of the things that I've been up to in the last, since I saw you. But again, you know, I went out one day on the streets, and I said to the Lord, I can't do this anymore, and I feel like I'm done, and I don't know. I know you've called me to do this, but I just don't know if I can do it anymore. I'm tired, and I don't think this isn't working, and that's not true. But you say that, this is just not going my way. And I felt like the Lord said to me, just go out and just try again and just start speaking to people, just start praying for people. And 62 people that I prayed for later, I went home in one afternoon. You know, that's who he gave me, 62 people to pray for. Because again, when he says do it, there's a grace that follows, but we're okay to go to him and say, I'm really struggling with this. You know. Has anybody ever had to make a controversial decision or done something controversial and then said to the Lord, you know, are you sure you got this right? You know, you seem to tell me to do this, but then it hasn't really gone my way, and I'm not 100% sure that you definitely did. Are you sure? You know, just double check that in the million things you're doing, this one isn't wrong. You know, and I tell you why, is that the Lord led me to, and I spoke a little bit about this last week, but he called me out of my old church, the old public ministry, like the public ministry that I had, the very several things that I was overseeing, and all of those things. He called me out of those, and that was an exceptionally hard thing to do. Three of us, me and my two best friends, we stepped out of the ministries and the church. We found a new church, and it was a traumatizing time. A lot of things were really hard. You know, people spoke about us badly. There was just a really traumatizing time of going through that. But you know, people like you kept us going in that time. And what I mean by that is father-hearted prophetic people, you know, holding back on opinion but giving out his voice, because what matters at the end of the day is what his voice is. And I kept getting this prophecy, which is one of the things I'm sharing today of, you know, so God is doing something new, and it means coming out of all of these things that I've ever known before. Nothing wrong with that church for the people there, but just for me, he's doing something new, and I needed to be aligned into what he was calling me into. And it was, like I say, it was hard, you know, it was traumatizing. But I kept getting this one prophetic word over and over again, if he is doing something new. So I stepped out and obeyed him in that. And you know, I realized over this time how important prophetic words really are, and why it is that we're supposed to seek that gift, of why it is that it's so, so useful. Because in my driest times, I'll tell you about, there's one really exciting word that I had that one of my best friends, Joe, you met him, he gave me this word, and I kept hold of this. And I really had to keep hold of this after the second time that the Lord gave it to me. I didn't keep hold of it after the first. After the second time, I just kept so hold of this word, because actually it just brought me so much hope. He said, I see you on an aircraft carrier in a fighter jet waiting to take off. And I was like, okay, that's it's encouraging. It shows that there's something going to happen in the ministry. Something's going to move, but I don't really know what that means, and I don't know where that's come from, or in the sense of I don't know where I'm going to go with this. So I thought, Lord, I could really do a confirmation of some of these words, because I'm getting lots of encouraging words, but I don't really know where I'm going in this. As many of us have been in that place of I'm getting words of knowledge and I'm getting words of encouragement, but I don't know where the fruit is of this, or I don't know when this is going to happen. And anyway, 1 week or 2 weeks go by, and I find myself sat inside a fighter jet, and now I'm taking the word seriously. Okay, he found somewhere. We went, and before you knew it, this person had let us sit inside. I didn't even know they had jets there. And I think, okay, Lord, you know, maybe this is you. Then I'm Skyping one of my friends in the morning, and he says, I know this sounds silly, but I just felt like I should share with you that yesterday I was praying for you and I heard the sound of a fighter jet. And he says, this thing was so loud and it was about to take off, and it was just like, you know, you couldn't miss it, but I just didn't want to tell you because it sounds silly. And I was just sat there like, you have no idea. Then my best friends, they take me away for my birthday, and I'm sat in North Holland, and I'm just sat in the garden, and I just start to hear this roaring sound, and a jet flies past. You could have missed this in seconds, but this fighter jet flies straight past. I would have missed it. Had I been inside, I would have missed it. It was just seconds. And the reason why I guess I feel so led to tell you about that is a lot of you will have had words spoken over you. You may not have written them down. You may have written them down. But the thing is, you have to go back to those or prophecies, those words of knowledge. You dig them out and you read them. And you redigest them, you take them by faith that what has been spoken of your life is going to come into fruition, because actually that is going to be what God has said is going to come into fruition if we take it. But first we have to take it, believe it, and believe for what he said, and then that's going to happen. I just want to pray for us, and then I'm going to keep going. So Lord, I want to pray for each person here, everyone. Lord, you've got words for each person's life. Each person here has a unique destiny, Lord, and you will have spoken so many words over each person, and I pray that they would find them, Lord, that you would lead them to those words, that Lord, you just encourage each person right now, that you would just bless each person. And Lord, we need joy, because that's the joy of the Lord is our strength. So for the next stages of what you're calling us into, I just pray for joy right now, that joy would fill this place. And I want to just claim those words for each person, Lord, that you spoke out, that you allowed us to prophesy over one another in joy, Lord. I declare that those words are going to come into fruition. But I really pray for a hope to fill this place, a joy to fill this place. Lord, would you meet us in the deepest of places today, Lord? Thank you that you choose to come here as a friend, that it isn't just about the power, but you want to come here as a friend, to meet with us as a friend, and the frequency of your voice is very different, Lord, and I pray that we would hear your voice today and feel your voice today, because, Lord, your words, your voice is very different to what a lot of us imagine, Lord, and you have something different to say. So I pray for every single person here to hear your voice, Lord. And I want to just claim that right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I gave a word last week, which the Lord put on my heart. And so I just want to share that again this week, because it's really important that we take this word. But I got the word, I believe it was Hope and Healing Center. If I remember rightly, that's what it was, a center of healing and hope. That this is what the Lord was calling this place. Okay, and this is why it's so unique, you know, and what I really felt to tell you is that he's going to bring people in, but each person needs to know their role, the role that they play. It's like if you went into a hospital or a doctor or wherever you are, and they don't know what their role they're about to play, the person isn't going to receive what they need, you know, because they don't know that they have a vital role to play within the place that they're in. But each person here, this isn't just for the set, the select, but each person has the most vital role to play in the people that the Lord is going to bring through those doors. This is really a word for now, that people are going to come in who need healing, who need hope, who need love. You know, those that have been forgotten in all situations, that are hurt, that need just healing, they're going to come. They're going to be brought here. But you need to know that you carry such an important role in this, that who you are is going to be what transforms those lives, because he's given you those characteristics, that love, those giftings, that people are going to be healed that come into this place. And that's going to be what comes for you. But also, I just want to encourage you for what I believe is next. Because the thing that I've been getting time after time after time is the Lord is doing something new. And something new is about to take place in my life, is the word I keep getting. And it's the one I've taken, which is why it looks like everything is so different. But in that, I think nothing is going to look like how it previously has done. You know, in a sense, church is going to change, power is going to change, it's going to take a new level. And, you know, God has done incredible things with each generation, and in that it's our time to see what he has for us. You know, no eye has yet seen this, no ear has heard this, what he has for us. And I think we're coming into a new time where things are just going to look completely different. And Jesus was the blueprint of what our lives should look like. Okay. And he says here in John 14:12, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Okay. He's given us the keys. Okay, he's given us the keys. We just need to be mature enough now to drive the car. Okay, that requires a mixture of character molding, increasing in faith, but the most important one, intimacy. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. And he said that we're going to do greater things than him, but these do require us to change and to transform and to mold and to take steps into walking in the blueprint that he set. He set an example of what is possible. And we need to walk in that. And I just want to pick a few things, okay, that he did, or that happened to him, that I think that we want to be pushing for. So Jesus fed the 5,000, okay, in Matthew 14. And I can't tell you how to do this yet, because I haven't done it yet, okay? I know that there are people out there that are multiplying food, and the people are getting fed, Heidi Baker being one of those people. I haven't seen this yet, but, you know, this is going to be a thing that we can do to help the people that are starving out there. Jesus has given us this gift. You know, he's seen this. We can see this. He can do it. Therefore, we can do it. We can do the greater things than him, because he's given us the power to do that. He's given us the authority to do that, because he loves us. He trusts us. With that comes maturity. You know, we have to get into a place of maturity, and he starts to release these things. Jesus walks on water. Again, this is in Matthew 14. This is something really exciting, because he was fully human as well as fully God, and which is a crazy concept, but he defies matter and walks on water. It's like, you know, we look at that and we kind of think, yeah, I believe in everything that Jesus did. I believe in that Bible. I believe in, you know, all the things that are possible, but actually take that for yourself. You know, he did it, so he's the blueprint, and so we can see it. We can do it. In this lifetime, we need to be believing for more than we've ever believed before, and not just settling for the smaller things. He said that we would see these things, you know, we would do greater things than him. And I want to believe for those things. And they're really hard to believe, because, you know, most of us, if we picture doing that right now, picture ourselves drowning, sinking somewhere. The reality is that we've got to take that stuff and keep increasing our faith with it. But we have to believe him and hold on to those words where he says we will see greater things. Jesus transfigured. It says this in Mark 9:2. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. My belief is we're supposed to become so close, so intimate, so at one with Christ that we start to transfigure. Jesus transfigured, so I'm believing in it. I'm believing for it. Everything that he does, everything that he's seen, I want to believe for it. Because he is the blueprint, and he said that we would do and see greater things than him. Now, this is one where there's some controversy, but I believe Jesus turned invisible. It says here in Luke 4:29, Jesus is speaking, and it says this: when they heard these things, all in the synagogues were filled with wrath, which they usually do when Jesus speaks. He annoys everyone. And they rose up and drove him out of town and brought him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built, so they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. Now, often people say he walked through and just went on his way. But I'll give you an example. Let's say your pastor Don is preaching on a Sunday, and you think, I don't really like what he's saying, and we should go and throw him in the sea after he's finished, you know, and the ministry time's done. You know what he looks like, you know what he sounds like, and he's there, and you're ready to throw him. I mean, there's water across the road, you could go down there. But you're throwing him into the sea. Okay, now, he cannot just pass through you and go. I believe he needs to be invisible, that you don't see him, so that he can go through you, pass through your midst, and leave. Okay. And this is what I believe he did. And actually, it's just another thing that amazes me about him. This world, he did not conform to what we're told that we can live by, or science, or any of those things, walking on water, turning invisible, any of those things. And I'm just trying to give an outline of what I believe he's saying, is that we need to now start to believe for those greater things. It is coming a time when that is what he's doing. He's the creative miracles that are happening at the moment, the things that we're seeing are just incredible. And I think he's just stepping it up. And he's asking us to think about these things that are greater. We want to start to see things. You know, we sing songs where we're asking the Lord to open our eyes, but we need to push in deeper than that and just keep asking him and asking him and asking him to let us see what's around us. Let us see the angels around us. Let us see what is going on in the kingdom. Let us see the spirits that are haunting people so that we can do something about it, so that we can bring healing. But we want to see. We want eyes to see what is going on. See, some of you may leave here on Sunday transfigured. You may go and walk on the beach, on the water, and then feed the multitude. You know, but I haven't been able to do that yet, so I have to keep pushing in and believing for that. I'm looking at what Jesus did, and I'm believing for it. Most people can fall away from intimacy, okay, because whenever we choose to press in, all of our junk manifests around us. The closer we go, the closer it exposes. The rage comes out, the rage that we all say we don't have, that does come out. And it starts to manifest to the surface. And we think, the Lord's turning me away. He doesn't really want me to be close. And this is just warfare. Well, it's not, you know. It is our stuff that we deal with. The closer we get to him, the more stuff we deal with, the more freer we get. You know, we have to deal with those things. There is no way around that. But as those things start to come out, don't take that as a rebuke from the Lord. Take that as an invitation to bring healing and to bring wholeness. It's for a breakthrough. When we start to feel those things start to manifest to the surface, they are there for breakthrough, so they can be released. God is releasing things away from us. So I just want to encourage you with that, because I've seen people just want to push away from the Lord when they've tried to get close. But it is a process that we have to go through, of dealing with all the stuff that we've had, the stuff that we've believed, the stuff that, you know, I call it self-harming in the spirit, where we talk about ourselves in bad ways, where we speak over our lives, where we say we're useless, we're worth nothing, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, I'm never going to amount to anything. That is all just self-harming, and actually at some point we have to deal with that. You know, all those things that happen to you which were not your choice, we have to deal with that. The closer we get to him, the more it starts to pour out, and that's when we have to do it. And I think the problem with us is, and this is for a lot of us, we've put false ceilings up above us, which says this is our limit. This is our limit, and we can't go any further, okay? We limit ourselves by a status or weakness, and there are no limitations in the kingdom. We limit ourselves and we label ourselves by our job or how far we've made it in life, in certain financially or whatever it is, or we just label ourselves and say, that's good, that's me, and that's as far as I can go. But those have to come off. You know, it's time to dream and time to believe that actually God can do amazing things. That this isn't just going to be another one. You're not just another life, you know, that just because somebody else hasn't seen those things that you're not going to see, because you have to believe for it and take hold of it. And I really feel like those labels, and it may not even been you that put the label on, but you need to take them off. And the ceilings have to come off, and there has to be an open heaven, which is there is anything is possible, because Jesus has died on the cross and has torn that veil, which means we have access to him, to that power, and the power flows, and we have the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that actually there is no limits. There is no ceiling. We don't have to submit to anything other than what he says about us and what he says our capacity is. So I want to tell you a couple of good healing stories to finish, because I want to encourage you about how just how the Lord moves in our everyday life, and also how you can move in somebody else's life by just taking a risk. And so I was about to have lunch with one of the pastors in my hometown, and I started to feel really ill, and just my stomach was not good. And so I just lied down and I was saying, Lord, I need to meet up with this guy, and now I feel so ill, I don't know what to do. And I shook, and all of a sudden I could just see in the spirit a sword, like an angel's sword, in front of me at my stomach. Within 5 minutes I was completely healed. Now at that point I had to really step back and process what just happened. I was not well, I see the sword, and now I'm healed. Okay. Now I didn't heal myself. That had to be something majorly significant, and it's only a taste of what he's got for me. So I have to take hold of that and push in for what else he has. He wants to show me things. It's an invitation. And I said to the Lord today that, you know, bring to here, to this place, whoever it is that you want to hear this. You know, and if so, if you're here, it's because he is wanting to show you things. He's wanting to show you visions of the kingdom that we are part of, that we're not seeing. You know, he wants to show us so many things, but we've got to hunger after these things, you know, set our mind on things above and keep going. One of my best friends, she's a doctor, and she works with a nurse that's not very well. And so one day she said, she just felt to give this nurse a ring. I don't know if she checked to see if it fits or not, but she just felt to give her a ring. She said, okay, I'm going to give you this ring. She prays over this ring, gives it to the lady. The next day she comes into work. She says, how do you feel? She said, I feel amazing. I've been able to drink milk for the first time in a long, long time. Wow, okay. She explained to her, this is what I did. I prayed over the ring and I gave it to you. This lady, I don't believe she's a Christian, she starts to cry. She then has to go to Africa to buy the medication because it's so expensive. So she goes over to Africa. She comes back, and you know, my best friend asks again, say, how was your trip, you know, and did you get what you went for? She said, I went to get the medication, but I completely forgot about the medication, because I've been completely healed. You know, this, whatever she had, was big. You know, this is a big problem. But through this prayerful ring that she wore, she was completely healed and completely forgot why she went in the first place. And it's the power of prayer. It's the power of our testimony. It's the power of us just saying, you know, we know what God is capable of. You know, we know that we can pray over this and a person can get healed of it, stepping out in faith, willing to look like, why would you do that? But these amazing testimonies come from just everyday life. You know, people are really hurting. You know, we were downtown Newport News a good few times this week. We went and I got to pray with this guy. He is 61 years old and he was just amazing. And he was just saying to me, I need help. Like, I really need help to break away from just what I do in life. I want to break away from everything. I want a good life. And I said, look, if you condemn yourself, I'm speaking to everyone here, if you condemn yourself about what it is that you think you've done wrong or what it is that you do wrong, you're never going to get out of the situation. You have to look with the right perspective and say, you know, some things have caused me to do this, and actually I'm doing well, and I'm going to do better, and the Lord is with me, and actually I can step out of this. I don't have to sit under any of this, but actually I'm doing well. So I started just to get him to speak things out about his life, that he's doing well, that actually God sees him differently to how he sees himself, and this guy gives his life back to Jesus. And you know, there's people everywhere that just want to know about him, and he wants to mature us to a place where we can see what's going on, that this is a whole process where he's building us so that we can see and a restoration is happening. And my sort of real encouragement to you is that this is a place where people can get healed, because this is a place where his voice is heard. You know, his words are heard. People listen to his voice and give that message, and they hear the words that God has. This is an incredible place, and I really want you to know that this is why God is using this church to bring so much healing to people around here. So I want to pray for us, but I want to pray for a couple of different things. I think that I shared a vast amount of stuff, and you know, for some of us, we want to share our faith. You know, it's one of the things that we want to do in our everyday lives. We want to see stuff, we want to see kingdom stuff, we want to see that reality break out around us. But then for some of us, there's just hurts, there's things that we can't get past, there's things that just slow us down. And I just feel like the Lord wants to bring healing into those situations, which is why I shared, you know, I never really know how these things are going to go. And so I rely on him to just basically give you a shotgun talk where you sort of preach everything in one go. And so why don't you stand up? We're going to pray. And then I want to just invite people that if the Spirit's prompting you, just come up to the front and I'm going to pray, and we're going to minister to you, and we're going to just pray into those hurts. Or, you know, if you want to share faith, just pray for that to be released around your life. Is that good? Great. Why don't you stand up and pray? Lord, I just want to thank you for this amazing, amazing church. I want to thank you thank you, Lord, for the people that aren't here today. That, Lord, I pray that you'd be so with them, so blessing them right now. But for the ones who are here, Lord, there's so much that you want to do. So I pray right now that you'd come and have your way, Lord, in their lives. Lord, release your presence, your healing presence, your joyful presence. And I pray that you would start to relight those dreams, where there's dreams that you've had and they've been crushed or not yet come into fruition. Lord, I pray that you would relight those, that you would bring those to the surface and re-spark that passion for pursuit of that dream. Because, Lord, your word is your word, and they don't fade away. And I just pray that you would bring those words up right now, Lord. So if any of that resonates, then I want to invite you to come and pray, or just speak to the person next to you and ask for some prayer. But I really believe he wants to meet with you in a new way, a powerful way, and a healing way. we have some music, just so it's less awkward that way, right? I just felt like, as I was praying, that actually the Lord just wants to bring encouragement. So whoever's next to you, just lay hands on somebody and just speak God's encouragement over their life. I just feel like he wants to encourage right now, and you want to take this. This is what you don't want to miss. So just lay hands on somebody and just encourage them with what God has for them. Don't rely on if you prophesy regularly or whatever that is. Just ask the Lord what he wants to say, and release those words and declare those words over each other's life.